Cheryl Strayed's Tiny Beautiful Things isn't just advice. It's a masterclass in radical empathy. The book collects her Dear Sugar columns, where she responds to strangers' deepest wounds not with detached wisdom, but by cracking open her own heart first. What makes these exchanges extraordinary is Strayed's willingness to meet darkness with vulnerability, to answer pain with her own scars. In a world where we're increasingly disconnected, she offers something rare, genuine human connection through unflinching honesty. When a reader shares their deepest shame or most devastating loss, Strayed doesn't just acknowledge it. She sits down beside them in that darkness and says, "I've been here too." This isn't self-help as much as it is communion, a reminder that our most private suffering is paradoxically what connects us most deeply to others. When a man writes about his inability to say "I love you," Strayed shares how love was her mother's final word, spoken when Strayed wasn't present. This absence haunts her like an iron bell clanking inside, teaching her the cost of withholding what matters most. Love isn't mysterious. It's simply the feeling we have for those we care deeply about. When we avoid expressing it, we create a force field that distorts reality rather than protecting us from vulnerability. Our reluctance stems from fear of rejection, commitment, or emotional exposure. But Strayed is direct. Don't be strategic or coy. Strategic and coy are for jackasses. This wisdom comes not from theory, but from having lost someone without fully expressing what needed to be said. Her urgent message, "We're all going to die," hit the iron bell like it's dinner time, carries the weight of someone who knows how precious our chances to speak love are. In a culture that rewards emotional withholding, Strayed advocates for the courage to be vulnerable while we still can. When life delivers unbearable suffering, who will save us? Strayed's answer is both brutal and beautiful. We must save ourselves. To a teenage girl whose mother's boyfriend nearly drowned her, Strayed offered this truth: "You will have to grab like a drowning girl for every good thing that comes your way and swim like fuck away from every bad thing." This became her gospel for every girl in her horrible story chair. About grief, she remains unflinching. "You will never stop loving your daughter, but she will always be dead." No one can protect us from suffering. We must heal through our own efforts. Years later, one of those girls, Desire, approached Strayed at Taco Bell, proudly declaring, "I made it, didn't I?" This reunion proves that people can transcend seemingly hopeless circumstances when given both compassion and truth. Strayed doesn't position herself as savior, but empowers people to rescue themselves, challenging therapy's traditional expert-client dynamic. When a young gay man writes about living with fundamentalist Christian parents who monitor him to prevent a return to the gay lifestyle, Strayed's response is unequivocal. You mustn't live with people who wish to annihilate you, even if you love them. The parents force their son into a double life, out to friends but pretending to be cured at home. They hide the modem, search his room, and treat his boyfriend as a contamination risk. Strayed frames this not as a matter of sexuality or religion, but of human dignity. Their conditional love, based solely on their son avoiding other men's man parts, is ugly, skimpy, diseased love that will destroy him. Strayed rejects compromise, insisting that some situations demand immediate action. She challenges the "It Gets Better" campaign, noting that improvement comes from choosing to live truthfully, not waiting. She concludes by describing LGBT pride parades that move her to tears, seeing people who decided simply to live their truth, even when doing so wasn't simple, offering the writer a vision of community beyond rejection. How do we act with grace when others fail us completely? When a single mother writes about her child's absent father, Strayed validates her anger while focusing on what matters most, her child's well-being. Her advice is practical: pursue legal child support, share updates and photos while extending invitations to visit, and find healthy outlets for anger. She shares how her mother never spoke ill of her abusive father, Research shows children suffer more from hearing one parent criticize the other than from direct criticism. While this advice might seem counterintuitive, Strayed emphasizes that parenting decisions must prioritize the child's emotional health over justified grievances. The mother's grace will be the gift of her child's life and will come out in the reckoning. The message is clear. It's not about what the father deserves, but what the child needs, a principle that applies to many difficult relationships. While working as a coffee girl at a London accounting firm, technically homeless and married too young, Strayed befriended an elderly woman during breaks. When her husband visited and met the woman, he remarked with astonishment, "She has a bundle on her head, a 3-foot tower of rags and blankets that Strayed had somehow never noticed." This realization made Strayed laugh, then cry, recognizing it symbolized her blindness to obvious truths in her life, her homelessness, her uncertain marriage, her lack of direction. She tells the letter writer that she too has a bundle on her head. She's not truly torn about her relationship, but afraid to leave. Fear of being alone is not a good reason to stay, Strayed advises. The metaphor illustrates how we become blind to problematic situations through familiarity. Our adaptive mechanisms, denial, rationalization, minimization, help us function but prevent necessary change. The story demonstrates Strayed's ability to find profound meaning in small moments, transforming a simple anecdote into a powerful illustration of psychological blindness. Life's deepest meaning often reveals itself in retrospect. Strayed shares the story of a red velvet toddler dress she bought at 18. When she hesitated at the $1 price, her mother said, "You can put it in a box, then you'll have it no matter what you do," and bought it for her. Years later, after her mother's death and her daughter's birth, finding this dress became a moment of profound emotional collision, like being slapped and kissed at the same time. The dress embodied both loss and connection, showing how her mother's love had transcended death. When her daughter wore it on her second Christmas, the ordinary became extraordinary. Strayed concludes that life's meaning emerges in hindsight. We live and have experiences and leave people we love and get left by them. Our work here is to keep faith with that, to put it in a box and wait. The dress becomes a powerful symbol of how the dead remain with us through objects and memories, a reminder that even in our deepest losses, something beautiful may await in a box we packed long ago.